In today's gospel, Christ shows his power over sickness and even death. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him, and he stayed close to the sea. One of the synagogue officials named Jairus came forward. Seeing him, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, saying, "My daughter is at the point of death. Please, come lay your hands on her, that she may get well and live." He went off with him, and a large crowd followed him and pressed upon him. There was a woman afflicted with hemorrhages for 12 years. She had suffered greatly at the hands of many doctors and had spent all that she had. Yet she was not helped, but only grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. She said, "If I but touch his clothes, I shall be cured." Immediately, her flow of blood dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Jesus, aware at once that power had gone out from him, turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who has touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to Jesus, "You see how the crowd is pressing upon you, and yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. The woman, realizing what had happened to her, approached in fear and trembling. She fell down before Jesus and told him the truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be cured of your affliction." While he was still speaking, people from the synagogue official's house arrived and said, "Your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher any longer?" Disregarding the message that was reported, Jesus said to the synagogue official, "Do not be afraid, just have faith." He did not allow anyone to accompany him inside except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they arrived at the house of the synagogue official, he caught sight of a commotion with people weeping and wailing loudly. So he went in and said to them, "Why this commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but asleep." And they ridiculed him. Then he put them all out. He took along the child's father and mother and those who were with him and entered the room where the child was. He took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." The girl, a child of 12, arose immediately and walked around. At that, they were utterly astounded. He gave strict orders that no one should know this and said that she should be given something to eat. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, good morning, everyone. I think I've shared with you all before that the summer before my ordination, I had to do an internship at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston. And during that internship, I saw patients, you know, patients who were in there for minor illnesses. I saw patients who were in there with major illnesses. And I saw patients who were dying, basically, on their deathbed. And what I would do is just go talk with these patients. And at times, I was able to also talk with the family members of these patients just to give them comfort and just conversation and somebody to talk to. In particular, there was this one young father that comes to mind. So I was talking with this young father, and he was sharing with me that his son was here in the hospital at Brigham and Women's, and his son was in and out of consciousness. He would fall asleep, he would wake up, fall back asleep. You know, he was just in and out, and he had a very high fever that was causing this, and the doctors didn't know what was going on, and that's why he was there. And he shared a story that on this one particular day, the father would always be at his son's bedside, because if he woke up, he wanted to be there for him. because it didn't wake up often. So this one time, the little boy wakes up, and the father is right there by his bedside. And the little boy turns to his father, and he says, "Daddy, can you hold my hand? I hurt. Daddy, can you hold my hand? I hurt." Shortly thereafter, the little boy went back into a deep sleep. Well, the father was so moved by this that the father knelt at his son's bed while he was asleep, and he looked up and he said, "Father, take my hand because I hurt. Father, take my hand because I hurt." That very day, that young father's faith came back alive. Because he also shared with me that he was raised Catholic, but he had stopped practicing. He had stopped practicing because he felt he wasn't worthy. He felt that he wasn't good enough. He just felt like he could no longer pray, and he didn't have any faith whatsoever in Jesus Christ. But it was because of his little boy asking to hold his hand because he hurts that that young father's faith came back alive, and he asked for God to hold his hand because he hurts. His faith was rekindled. His faith came alive, and he realized that he was worthy of God's prayers. How often do we forego our faith? How often do we just let it all go, and we do not ask God for help because we do not feel worthy, or we feel like he's not going to answer us, or he doesn't listen to us? How often do we do that? I know I have friends and family that will come up to me, and they say, "Roland, you pray for me because he doesn't listen to me. I'm not good enough. You do it. He listens to you. You have a higher spot up there than I do." And I get this a lot between my family and friends and co-workers. "You do it. I can't do it." But I tell them, yes, you can. Yes, you can pray. Yes, you can ask God to reach out and hold your hand. You have faith. Have faith in God. Then I remind them, because they continue on, "Well, I can't. You do it." And I remind them of the words that shortly we are going to say together in prayer. "Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed." That is a prayer. That is asking God to take our hand and to heal us of whatever affliction we have, to take away our sin, to prepare us for his beloved Son to enter into us in the Eucharist. It is not just a signal that the Eucharist is coming up next, but it is an actual prayer where we put our faith into practice. And we're asking God to heal us so that we can receive Christ fully in the Eucharist. Faith. We may not feel like we're worthy because we're not important enough in life, maybe. "Oh, God doesn't pay attention to me. I'm nobody." You have a synagogue official who did not believe in Jesus Christ, but a faith grew in him that day enough to reach out and ask for help and say, "Please save my daughter." And he did. Faith. And you have a woman who was not even named, who has been hemorrhaging, which automatically makes her unclean, a lowlife in society, who reaches out and says, "If I just touch his clothes, I can be healed." And she does. And what happens? She's healed by faith, because she had faith in Christ. The synagogue official had faith in Christ. We all have that faith. We just have to use it and reach out. Father, take my hand. I hurt. We all hurt at times. But it is our faith that gets us through that hurt. Because we have the faith enough to trust that God will heal us, that God will forgive us, that God will love us, and God will give us the grace to get through whatever it is we need to get through. And He also gives us all that in faith so that we can help another, just as that young father helped his son get through his hurt. Remember, God is the creator. He is not a killer. God wants us to live. He created us to live, not to die. Death came into the world through sin and through Satan. Life, love, health, forgiveness comes through God and God alone. God bless.